Everywhere you go, there should be a trail of something good you did for somebody.
And now for The Names of God, Part 8, Jehovah, Rohi, Part 5.
Thank you for joining Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. Well, we welcome all of you joining us by television and those of you joining us online at brothersoftheword.com or social media. Welcome to today's service. Always a wonderful delight, joy to have you to tune in and join us. We'd like to share just a little humor. A Sunday school teacher asked the children just before she dismissed them to go to church, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" she asked. Little Annie replied, "Because people are sleeping." And I have another little bonus one. This is a bonus one for you today. Because you all were good this week, I'm giving you a little A little boy was overheard praying, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am." Praise God. Well, we are just having fun. We've been sharing for the last, several weeks. We've been sharing on the names of God, and we got to Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. And so we just camped out here, and we've been studying specifically Psalms 23, because we get the great picture of the good shepherd in our lives. And we're just walking through these verses, extracting principles and God's truth that we can live out in our lives and realize who our good shepherd is and what he does for us and what he provides for us. So we've just been having a wonderful time. I've been having fun. I've known Psalms 23 all my life, but never quite have looked at it like this. I really enjoyed it. Really been enjoying it and getting so much out of it. Well, just to give you some of the things we've shared, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So this is our contentment is in him. Because he is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So we're able to rest. We're able to rest in his promises. We're able to rest in him and feed on his word, feed on his promises. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He is the fountain of living waters. And so we drink of him. There's peace and contentment and rest in him. And verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. This is the time of quiet and tranquility. And this is where we allow ourselves to recalibrate ourselves and we spend some quiet time in his word and some quiet time in his presence and some quiet time in rest. And it restores our soul. It replenishes us and restores and renews us. And then in verse 3, he continues, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And we said that that's character, that's honesty, that's integrity. Greatness is not found in your possessions or your title or your position. Greatness is found in character. Greatness is found in goodness and humility and service. That's where greatness is found. So he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And here he protects us, he delivers us, he rescues us, he is with us. And so we stay close to the shepherd as we go through dark places in life. You stay close to the shepherd, stay close to the shepherd. See, if a sheep is not close to the shepherd, the sheep can be picked off by a predator. And so you stay close to the shepherd so you don't get picked off by a predator. So we stay close to the shepherd. And then we talked about verse 4, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's emblematic of God's word and the Holy Spirit. The word and the Holy Spirit, they comfort me. So the word is our defense. The word is our weapon. And the Holy Spirit leads us. And he guides us. And so we're in constant touch with Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God has already prepared everything we need for life and godliness. He's gone through great care and attention to detail to prepare for us. And that is a great consolation that God has prepared for you. Even when Jesus came back, you notice what he said? He said, don't worry. He said, and this is actually right before he left, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So he prepares for the next life, and he also prepares for us in this life. And I just love that about there's nothing thrown together. There's nothing thrown together in the plan of God for you. He prepares for you. He prepares. He takes great time and attention to prepare for you. And then verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. And we talked a little bit about how the oil represents favor and blessing and delight and healing and how it prevented insects from being an irritant. And how it is emblematic in our lives, how we're not to allow little things to irritate us, how we can get along with one another without hurting one another, and how the oil becomes a healing balm. And here's something else I want to share about that. He anointeth my head with oil. We talked about the fact that we need a daily anointing. We need a daily anointing because a shepherd had to place his oil on a constant, regular basis for it to do his job. And so lets us know that we need a daily anointing. He anointeth, and notice, I want you to notice what he anoints. He anointeth my head with oil. That's your mind. That's your thinking. That's your attitude. We need to begin the day with a positive thought. This is the day that the Lord has made. In it I will rejoice and be glad. That's how you begin your day, because he anointeth my head, my mind, my thinking, my attitude, my perspective. He anoints it with oil. The Holy Spirit now helps us in our attitude, our thinking, our mind. Be grateful as you begin the day. Choose to be happy as you begin the day. Your thinking affects how you feel. Your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thought. What you think about is what you will bring about. And so your thinking is vitally important. Philippians 4:8 tells us, think on these things, those things that are lovely and just and good report. Think on these things. And so the Bible also lets us know that we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. He anoints my head with oil. That's your mind. It's your thinking. It's your attitude. It's your perspective. It reminds us that we're to bring our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. We line up our thinking with God's word. We think in line with his word. If you think about it, why would you allow thoughts to come in and steal your joy? You know, you wouldn't allow a thief to come into your home knowing he was a thief. Why do we allow thoughts to stay in the home of our minds and steal our peace and steal our joy? No. So we are to think in line with God's word. Ephesians 4:23 says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. He anoints my head with oil. It's your thinking. It's your mindset. It's your attitude. Here's some good things to think about. What's one thing that you're thankful for? What's one strength that you have? What's one of your best achievements? Who is one person who loves you? What is one thing you're looking forward to? See, these are some good thoughts. These are some good thoughts to think about. These are good things to think about. See, when you govern your life by your finest thoughts, your highest aspirations, your greatest victories, when you govern your life by thoughts like that, it causes you to soar. However, when your life is governed by your greatest fears and your greatest failures, you become despondent and depressed. You can always look at a person's thoughts, because your thoughts will lead to the way you feel and the way you correspondingly act, carry out. So your thoughts are vitally important. He anoints our head with oil. He anoints my head with oil. Also, we need fresh ideas, fresh insights that come from the Holy Spirit. This is fresh thinking. Holy Spirit gives us creativity. He gives us insight. He anoints my head with oil. This is your thinking. This is your mindset. This is your attitude. Here's a few keys to help you with your thinking. Number one, find a place to think. That could be you may have a favorite chair or you may have a place by a window, but you need to be deliberate and intentional about thinking. We have lost the fine art of thinking. We've lost the fine art of thinking. We're so used to being entertained all day. We're constantly on our phones, constantly on this and constantly on that, watching TV. And so we've lost the fine art of thinking, the fine art of thinking. And so find a place to think. Find a place to think. Remember now, he anoints your head with oil. There's inspiration. There's creativity. There are some highlights. There are some things he'll bring to you because he anoints your head with oil. This is the Holy Spirit impacting your thinking. He's impacting your thoughts. He's impacting your ideas. He will. Here's some things you can do to help. Find a place to think. Find a place to think. Number two, write down your ideas. Write down your ideas. I love this from Anne Lamott. She explained in one of her books how she keeps from losing her best ideas. She said, I have index cards and pens all over the house, by the bed, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, by the phones. I have them in my glove compartment of my car. She said, I carry one with me in my back pocket when I take my dog for a walk. She said, I used to think that if something was important enough, I would remember it until I got home where I could write it down in my notebook. But then I found that I never did. And so she found out that, you know, she needed to put things in place so that she could capture her ideas. He anoints our head with oil. So there are some ideas, there are some insights that the Holy Spirit would give you, and we need to be in a position to capture those things. One thought from God, man, can put you over in life. One thought from God can change your life. One idea, one insight can change everything. One revelation from God can change everything. He anoints our head with oil. There's something about the Holy Spirit. He'll make you brighter. He could turn the light on for you. He can do things for you that you couldn't ordinarily do on your own. He anoints your thinking. He'll give you insight. He'll give you perspective. He anoints our head with oil. Here's number three. Set aside time to think. So number one, find a place to think. Number two, write your ideas down. Number three, set aside time to think where you're intentional. It doesn't have to be long. You just carve out and say, you know what? I want to think 10 minutes a day. Just 10 minutes. I just want to sit quietly and think with a notepad and a pen. I just want to sit quietly and think for 10 minutes a day. Set aside time to think. You'll be surprised what the Holy Spirit will share with you when you give him time and space. The book of Proverbs actually talks about how wisdom shows up when you're waiting at his doors. When you're waiting at wisdom's doors, wisdom will appear. Wisdom will show up because you've been waiting at its posts. So when you wait, quiet time, wisdom will open the doors and invite you in and share some things. How little space and time we give wisdom, spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, to share with us some ideas, to share a different vantage point with us, to turn on the light, to give us insight, and revelation, and understanding, and knowledge. So number three, set aside time to think. Number four, find a process that works for you. Find a process that works for you. One of the famous poets, Rudyard Kipling, one thing that worked for him, he had to always have pure black ink for his pen before he could write. He didn't write with any other color. He had to have black. He had to have a black pen. But that worked for him, so he found out what worked. Red wouldn't work. Blue wouldn't work. A Sharpie wouldn't work. He had to have black ink for him to be able to write, turn on his creativity. and his skills. So you have to find out what works for you. They said Beethoven actually poured cold water over his head to refresh himself and stimulate his thinking. That's what worked for him. That's what worked for him. You may have to give that a try. Just pour, you know, just a little bowl of water over your head over the sink and see if it works for you. If nothing else, it'll wake you up. But it worked for Beethoven. Another poet, Friedrich von Schiller, what worked for him, he said he kept apples on his desk. And he said the smell of ripe apples stimulated his thinking. That's kind of weird, but it worked. It worked. Whatever floats your boat, it worked. I would prefer a lemon. I'm just joking. Another writer said that he sat in front of the window and he stared out at a stone tower. And there's something about looking at that tower out of his window that gave him inspiration, gave him the creativity that he needed. It was his edge. So you have to find out what works for your thinking. But he anoints our head with oil. The lady, J.K. Rowling, who wrote, she wrote the novels, you know, the best-selling novels, and the Harry Potter series, she actually wrote quite a few of her books sitting in a cafe. It worked for her. So, you know, she stayed with the winning formula. It worked for her. So you have to find out what works for you. You have to find out what works for you. But he anoints our head with oil. He anoints our head with oil. Well, and then we went into verse 5. My cup runneth over. We talked about the abundance of God's provision and love and joy and peace and all these things spilling over, abounding in hope through the Holy Ghost and all of these wonderful things. And then in verse 6, this is really where we left off, verse 6, which is the last verse of Psalms 23. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely, that speaks of certainty, speaks of confidence, speaks of positively, confidently, certainty. Surely, I love that. He's talking about the continuance of God's favor. Surely, God's favor will continue in my life. It was a declaration of his faith. He was speaking his faith. I love that. He was throwing the anchor of hope out there, and he was exercising his faith. And I love that. There was no question about it. There was a certainty. There was a certain surety about it. He was confident. It was something about it. Surely, I love that. I love that. There was no wiggle room for doubt in that. There's no wiggle room for doubt in surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, there are different types of mercy. There's all types of streams of mercy. There's forgiving mercy. There's protecting mercy. Sustaining mercy, supplying mercy, all type of mercy. Old people used to say traveling mercies. I played golf not too long ago and I needed golf mercies. There are all types of mercies. Goodness and mercies will follow. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is also emblematic of the rock, the water that followed Israel through the desert. That rock was Christ. He followed them. Everywhere they went, they were able to get water out of the rock. It was Christ. The rock was following them. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. We get a covenant from God. I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 40. God says, I'll never stop doing you good. And that's a covenant. I'll never stop doing you good. It's a covenant. Evidently, David knew about this covenant of goodness that will follow him. That's why he says, surely, he knew God was a covenant-keeping God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life, that speaks of a continuance. That speaks of a constancy. That speaks of something that's enduring. It wasn't going to stop. It was never going to be missing. It wouldn't be absent. It wouldn't give out. Wouldn't come up short. No, all the days of my life, just as sure as the day comes, that mercy comes. just as sure as the day come. Lamentations 3:23 says, his mercies are new every morning, just as sure as the day comes. His mercy comes. His goodness comes. Let that be a reminder to you. When you see the sun come up in the morning, just as sure as the day comes, his mercy comes. His goodness comes. It's just as sure as the sun coming up, his mercy comes. His goodness comes. It's just as sure. It is just as sure. It's just as sure. Man, all the days of my life, every day he knew it was going to show up. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Just as sure as the day comes, his goodness comes, his mercy comes. Just as sure as the sun comes up, his goodness comes, his mercy comes. If you ever thought God has forsaken you, go outside in the morning, see if the sun comes up. Because if the sun comes up, you'll know his goodness is there. You'll know his mercy is there. Oh, man, what a wonderful visible reminder. And that's why he said, my mercies are new every morning. All you have to do is check to see if morning comes. Because if morning comes, his mercies are there. His goodness is there. And they are new every morning. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. As sure as the day comes, goodness comes. Mercy comes. As sure as the day comes. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Now here's the second part of that. Not only does God's goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, this also speaks of you leaving a legacy of goodness and mercy everywhere you go. Now, everywhere you go, there should be a trail of something good you did for somebody. That should be a trail of some kindness you share with somebody. Because you came that way, somebody's life was better. Somebody's life was blessed. Notice it follows you. If you study the life of Jesus, the Bible says he went about doing good. It was following him. Every town he went in, good followed him. Every place he went, good followed him. God's goodness not only follows us, but that goodness and that mercy and kindness, we leave it as a legacy everywhere we go. Mother Teresa said, she said, let no one come to you without leaving better and happier. That's a legacy of goodness and mercy following you. I like Pastor Nathaniel, his new prerogative towards giving. He's tipping wherever he goes. He's leaving goodness and mercy wherever he goes. He's leaving such a big tip. You better believe that is goodness and mercy. Everywhere he goes, he's leaving it. When he goes to a restaurant, he's now leaving the cost of the whole meal as a tip. He's matching the cost of the meal and leaving that as a tip. How much goodness and mercy is following him when he leaves? He's leaving goodness and mercy on the table for the server. When he stays at a hotel, he's leaving a nice four-night stay, whatever the room night. So if it costs $150 a night and he stays 7 nights, he'll leave a $150 tip for the maid. That's goodness and mercy following him. He's leaving a residue of goodness and mercy for somebody else who comes along behind him. That's who we are. Everywhere we go, goodness follows us. Mercy follows us. We make life better for somebody else because you were there. Somebody is better because you came along. Somebody is better. Goodness and mercy follows you. Oh, man, I'm about to throw this tablet. I'm about to throw this tablet here. Goodness and mercy follows us. Goodness and mercy follows us. Goodness and mercy follows us. Whenever you encounter anybody, ask yourself, what can I do to be kind? What can I do to make them feel special? What can I do to bless them? What can I say? What can I do? How can I serve somebody to make it better for them? Because goodness and mercy follows me. Because I come along, I got to leave a trail. I got to leave a legacy of something good. I got to impact somebody's life in a positive way. I got to be a blessing. I have to. Goodness and mercy follows us. Oh, goodness and mercy follows us. 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 It follows us. That's who you are. You're a Christ follower. You are a Christ follower. Jesus lives big in you. And wherever Jesus went, he always was a blessing. He was always a blessing. How the Holy Ghost anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good everywhere he went. Goodness followed him. Mercy followed him. Bartimaeus cried out, "Have mercy on me, son of David." And that's all Jesus needed to hear. He stopped in his tracks. Because goodness and mercy follows him. Oh, man, I preached myself happy. Oh, boy. Oh, man, I'm so happy. Man, I'm having so much fun with Psalms. And the final part of that, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It means I ain't going nowhere. That means I won't leave the Lord. I'm not leaving him. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. You can't convince me to follow somebody else. It's too late. It's too late. I've had other people trying to introduce me to other religions. I said, it's too late. I've already tasted his goodness. I've already felt his love. I've already had an encounter with Jesus. I ain't going nowhere. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. It's too late. I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. See, when the sheep found a good shepherd, they wouldn't leave the flock. I ain't going nowhere else. No, 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 no. This shepherd's too good. This shepherd's too good. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Praise God. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Oh, man, I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, man. Praise God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, man, I'm having so much fun. Oh, man. Praise God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. Psalms 23 is powerful. It's powerful, man, and it's been sitting on the shelf too long. Been sitting on the shelf too long. And I'm just thankful that we had the opportunity to camp out there and just take our time and walk through it and live it out, man, and live in light of the Good Shepherd. Live in light of the Good Shepherd in our lives. Live in light of who we are and whose we are. Oh, man, we're not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. I've already tasted and seen that the Lord's good. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late. He's already introduced me to his love. It's too late. I've already experienced his grace. It's too late. I'm not going anywhere. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, man. What a wonderful shepherd we have. What a wonderful shepherd we have. What a wonderful shepherd we have. Praise God. Stand on your feet. Those of you who are watching by television, I want you to go to brothersoftheword.com. You can listen to this series in its entirety, absolutely free of charge. This is Jehovah Rophi, the Lord our Shepherd. You can listen to that entire series and also the full series on the names of God. You can email it to a friend. But thank you so much for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part 8 of the series titled The Names of God, subtitled Jehovah, Rohi, Part 5, by C. Elijah Bronner. This message is number 7927. That's 7927. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 7927 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.